15. Our school's high school basketball team played in a tournament on Tuesday. And started to say we got five of the team members here. We got four. Where's Sarah? She thinks she's sick again? Yeah. I notice she's well when we play basketball. She's only sick. Okay, but anyway, we have four of the girls on that team, Heidi and Heather and Ashley and Larie, and we managed to beat the fire at everybody, so that was kind of fun. We had a good time doing it. It was good. Let's go with the Lord in the word of prayer tonight, and then I'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Lord, we just ask you now to meet with us tonight, speak to our hearts. And Lord, help us to focus on you and your word. And Lord, that we'd live to please you. Lord, help our lives to be that which would do that. They'd please you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Staying clean is one of the most difficult chores known to man. I know it is because thousands and thousands of dollars are invested in just trying to keep clean every year by most every family. Do you ever stop and think how much money you spend on trying to stay clean? I mean, just think about it. You got to keep your clothes clean, right? Never-ending chore. Never-ending chore. I never cease to be amazed at how many, you know, loads of laundry it has to be done at our house. I didn't know we were such nasty folks, but I mean, you have to do a lot of laundry. That means the water charge. You got to buy the detergent to do it, you know. Then you have to keep your house clean. Well, you don't have to, but it is a good idea, all right? Some people don't, but it's a good idea if you do, you know. People spend money trying to keep their cars clean. They have to clean the floors, you know. You need to keep your body clean. By the way, I'm in favor of that, all right? Take a bath every Saturday if you need it or not, you know, just whatever. But you ought to stay clean, all right? There's no reason. I mean, you may be poor, your clothes may not be fancy, but they can be clean and you can be clean, all right? It's a good thing to do. But, you know, with all of that, there's bacteria everywhere. I kind of marvel. You watch these. Sometimes they come on the news, you know, channels putting on this deal to show you how you need to look out because bacteria is everywhere. And they take swabs, you know, and they swab all this stuff, doorknobs. After you watch that, it makes you want to wear surgical gloves everywhere you go, you know. I mean, it's just everywhere, you know, everywhere. People get sick because of unsanitary conditions. I mean, it's just a constant problem. Hospitals have a problem. Hospitals have a problem. Brother Autry telling about them cleaning in his hospital room. I just want to tell you, if you go to the hospital, what you need to do, fellas, if you go, if your wife goes, you need to carry the cleaning stuff to clean the room, okay? Don't trust them to do it. And ladies, if your husband goes, you need to carry the stuff to clean the room. Because, I mean, don't trust them. You said you're kidding. I'm not kidding you. One of the worst places to get an infection is in the hospital. Some of the most dangerous thing you can do is go to the hospital. It's one of the most dangerous places to be. I try to avoid going, you know, but it's obviously sometimes you can't help it, but I'm serious. You just check it out. Hospitals have if you want to make a hospital nervous, talk to them about their rate of infection. Just try it and see how they begin to react. It's just absolutely amazing. I mean, there's a big article. I'm old enough now to get the AARP journal, you know, so I get that journal, and they had this big article about that. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. You got to be careful. You know, the worst enemy you have, though, is your own body. I don't know. Now, you know, I'm not trying to be rude or crude, but let's face it. Your own body will start to stink. And you don't have to go out and labor long and hard. You give it long enough and it'll develop an aroma, okay? And it won't be pleasant. You say, what are you getting at? I just want to illustrate to you some of the most difficult thing in this world is to stay clean. Stay clean. Now look in Job chapter 15, all right? Job chapter 15, I am going somewhere, okay? Why doth thine heart carry thee away? This is verse 12, Job 15. And what do thy eyes wink at, that thou turnest thy spirit against God and lettest such words go out of thy mouth? What is man that he should be clean? And he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water? Like water. I'll tell you, you read the Bible, you can tell that it wasn't just man writing the book. Because no man would tell that much truth about himself. The Bible doesn't paint a good picture of man. It puts us out there the way we really are. But you know, now listen to me. Here's where I want you to get the message tonight. The amazing thing is to me that we understand physical dirt and we understand the importance of physical cleanliness. We understand that. Hey, I don't know about you. I go to a restaurant. I look over the if there's a choice between, you know, the silverware, you know, aluminum, metals, whatever, or plastic, I'm taking plastic because it's going in the trash can. You don't have to worry about them cleaning it. If it's one of those, you know, and they roll up the silverware and everything in the napkin, I unroll it, I inspect it. I at least want it to look clean, you know. I look it over. You know, it's amazing we understand that. It's amazing to me, we'll spend all kinds of money to keep ourselves clean. Hey, until I got married, until I had a teenage daughter, I didn't know girls were as bad a problem as I had. Because, man, I never seen as much body splash, lotion, and I mean, you know, Bath and Body Works stays alive because of you ladies, all right? All that money that's spent. And now they're coming out with those splashes for you guys. Now, hey, all right, I'd rather have a little manly aroma, okay? I just, you know, y'all do what y'all want to do, but I'm not going like that, all right? But I mean, you know, it's just amazing how much money spent. It's just deodorant and it's lotion and it's everything under the sun to load you up and to clean you up and to keep you clean. It's amazing. We understand that. Thing that bothers me, though, seems like we have a hard time grasping spiritual dirt. Seems like we have a real difficult time of seeing the importance of staying spiritually clean. And that's a shame. I'll be honest with you, far too many of God's people give very little thought to staying spiritually clean. Very little thought. I was on the phone today to a lady. Rode our bus when she was that tall. Came up through her teenage years. Used to go to youth camp with us. But in talking to her, I said, well, you know, what about your life? Well, yeah, I'm living a good life. I wanted to see what she's saying because I knew she was living an immoral life. But you know, it's amazing. We live in a day where we look at that and think, hey, no big deal. Won't even worry about that. We live in a day that we feel like, hey, it's not important. And wait a minute, I'm talking about people that profess to be saved. Now, that's just one example, but because it's so prevalent, that's why I give it. And I talk to people. I've been in homes. I've knocked on the doors of people and been invited in their house and see them and listen to them and hear them tell me how they did this work in church and they used to do this and working in the church and everything. And now they're living together and they're not married and it doesn't seem to bother them. Now, here's the problem. That's just one way. But we see other Christians. They're living their life. They're involved in different sins. Doesn't seem to bother them. But now, hey, they got a clean house. If you were to come and spit in their floor, they'd throw you out. But yet, their own life spiritually is not clean. Not clean. Now, I want to say this to you. I believe it's more difficult to stay spiritually clean than it is to stay physically clean. I believe it's more difficult to stay spiritually clean than it is to stay physically clean. But I just want to give you a few things about it tonight. And God being my helper, I think for the next few Wednesday nights, I'm going to speak to you about this business of staying clean. I believe God deserves a clean vessel. I believe God deserves a clean vessel. I believe He deserves us to give Him back to Him. He saved us, and He's redeemed our soul from hell, and I believe God it deserves us giving back to Him a clean vessel. But I want you to see this, all right? Look in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 14. I don't want you to have any mistaken ideas about it. I want you to see very clearly, number one, God expects us to be clean. You say, well, how clean? Well, I'm going to show you, all right? How clean? Well, just kind of clean? Well, no, it's a little more than that, all right? 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at this verse. Now, what he is, he's given some commandments, all right? He's given a commandment. And he says in verse 14, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thou keep this commandment without spot. All right? Go with me over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I want you to look here, verse 14. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Notice what the Bible has to say. You say, well, now, how clean do we have to be? I mean, you know, how necessary is it that we stay clean? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Without spot. Now, I want to ask you a question. Most of you folks have been to the all-you-can-eat buffet. Okay? Most of you have been. Okay? Now, over here at Ryan's, you know, or maybe up at Golden Corral, those high-class culinary places are, you know, one of these other ones. You know where you go up and they tell you always get a new plate when you come back? If you get that plate. Now, I don't know how y'all are, but the first thing I do, I look at the plate. Don't you? Okay, so you pick the plate up. And right there just on the edge, right on the edge of the rim, you can see that whoever had it before you, they didn't quite get it all off. And there's just a little spot there. Just want to ask you, how many of you eat off of that plate? Come on now, just one spot's on the rim. We're not talking in the middle of the plate, on the rim. Yeah, you don't want to eat off of that. You don't want to eat off of that. You're not going to take that plate and say, well, I'll eat off of it. But yet it's amazing to me that God's people oftentimes, we give Him a life like that and say, Lord, I got this one sin. You know about it. I know about it. But I know You understand. It's okay. Hey, I've had people tell me God understands. God understands. Hey, He doesn't expect us to live. Wait a minute, the Bible says, without spot. You see that? That you may be found of Him in peace, without spot, blameless. Hey, that's what God's Word says to us. I just want you to know this, all right? God expects us to be clean. I think God expects us to stay clean. He expects us to live clean. Live clean. Now, you say, all right, preacher, you're preaching a sinless perfection. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But I believe just like in the physical realm, okay, just like in the physical realm, You know, when you begin, at least when it gets to the point where you can detect an odor for yourself and you're the only one there, so you know it's you. All right. You usually go do something about it. You say, hey, I'll go take a shower. I need to clean up. All right, same way. Same way spiritually. Boy, I believe when you see that and you realize, wait a minute, there's a problem. I got a sin problem. I only did it once. That's enough. It needs to be dealt with. As soon as you realize it, it ought to be taken care of. Because God expects us to be clean. He wants a clean vessel. We're to serve Him. Man, if you demand it when you're eating, then you owe it to God to give it to Him in your life, when you're living. You ought to come back to Him and say, Lord, here it is. I've got it cleaned up. It may not stay clean, but it's clean now. I'm going to make it right, and I'm going to do my best to keep it right. Now, I believe we've got problems. Every one of us do. We still live in an old body of flesh, all right? Just like you can take it up, doesn't matter how hard you scrub it and how hard you clean it and how much stuff you spray on yourself, all right, or splash on. It's not going to be too long, relatively speaking, before you're going to have to do it all over again. Just do it all over again. Hey, well, when you're teaching your kids, all right, it's time to eat, go wash your hands. Probably sometime or another you've had your kids come in and said, you wash your hands? Yeah, there they are. Turn them over. All right, go back and finish the job, right? You didn't get it all. Listen, you and I, God expects us to stay clean. God expects us. I think He demands of us that we be clean and live clean. He said, you keep this commandment without spot. He says to us here that you be found of Him in peace without spot. Just want you to hang on to that. Number one, God expects us to be clean. Now, number two, go to the book of James, all right? The book of James, James chapter 1. I want you to see two verses here in James, one in James 1 and one in James chapter 4. But James chapter 1 says this. The very last verse in James chapter 1 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, I want you to notice what that verse says, all right? Especially that last phrase, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now, I want you to grasp this. It's real deep. It won't happen accidentally. It won't happen accidentally. Hey, God's not going to do it for you. You know, I'm 52 years old. There's my mom. She's a little older than that. Okay? Oh, she wouldn't mind, you know, she's 80. All right? That didn't bother her. Now, don't you think it'd be just a little bit odd if you were to come knock on the door at her house, she were to come to the door and have her sleeves rolled up, you know, and she were to say, come on in, I'm washing Brother Marlin's ears. Come on in. Now, you'd wonder about somebody, right? You'd be wondering about somebody. I mean, somewhere down the line, you go, wait a minute. Say that one more time. Yeah, he didn't get behind his ears real good, and I'm trying to fix it for him. Just come on in. Have a seat. We'll be out in a minute. But I want to tell you, I think sometimes God's people act that way. We act like, well, if God wants it fixed, He'll fix it. But notice what the Bible says. In James chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. That's our job to do that. It's not God's job, that's our job. We're the ones supposed to take care of that. You go back to James chapter 1, verse 27. You see, I know the Bible's easy to understand, but I find a lot of people can't read, seemingly. We have a problem, you know, with grasping it. It says to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's your job. It's your job. I want you to notice both of these verses make it real plain that it requires effort on our part to stay clean. Requires effort on our part that we stay clean. It's not going to be an accident. It won't take place, you know, just because, oh, well, hey, you know, here I am and I was on the way to church and all of a sudden everything got cleaned up. I'm all right now, preacher. No, it won't happen like that. You're not going to be clean accidentally. Won't happen. You're going to have to decide to take care of it. Now, I know some people that don't. It's hard to be around them. Just hard to be around them. They don't do it. They don't take. I've heard of guys in the service, didn't, so the other fellas helped him, all right? But I think they only had to help him once, okay, you know? I've heard you guys, some of you fellas tell about it. I think Brother Charles especially tell him. Say, man, we had a guy, he just wouldn't ever take a bath. We had to take care of it for him, but we fixed it. He did from then on. Well, listen, that's not God's job to keep you clean. That's your job. It's our job to keep ourselves clean. It's our job to recognize, hey, I'm kind of dirty. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I think with all my heart, I really think that's why some people that profess Christ and maybe are saved but never come to church because they don't want to be reminded, you need to clean up. You need to clean up. Hey, could I tell you something? When I was a kid, I never did like it when mom or dad said, son, you need to go get a bath. Because I was quite content to not worry about it that much, you know? And what's the reason? We're going to get dirty again tomorrow. Who cares? You know, I mean, it's not that big a deal, all right? And you know, I've watched a lot of kids. You got to tell them, go get a bath, go get a bath, go get a bath. But God ought not have to tell you that. You ought to have that realization. But I think a lot of people, that's why they don't want to be in church. They don't want to come too often. They don't want to be reminded they need to clean up. We had a lady who was a member of our church one time. My dad and I hadn't been, and we went to see this man and his wife, and we were sitting down talking to him, and finally this lady said, well, I'm just going to tell you, said, every time I leave, it just seems like I just feel dirty. Well, I don't know how you feel when you leave the service of the church. But I wanted to say, but, you know, first of all, I was a junior member. I kept my mouth shut and let Dad do the talking, you know. But I thought immediately, you know, I think maybe if I felt that way, that would indicate I needed to take care of something while I was there. Well, they took care of it. They quit coming, okay? They just quit coming. Now, listen to me. It's not God's responsibility. It's our responsibility as a Christian that we'd keep ourselves clean. We need to keep our hands clean. We need to do our best that we'd keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Not God's job, that's our job. But it won't happen accidentally. It'll only happen based on us. Now go to Psalms 51, all right? Go to Psalms chapter 51. It's not going to happen accidentally. You're not going to be clean accidentally. It's not his job, it's our job. We're to take up slack, we're to move, we're to do it, all right? Here's David writing under the inspiration of God. And he says in Psalm 51, verse 7, purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Down in verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Without a doubt, David's saying, Lord, clean me up. Clean me up. I need you to do it. I believe this. The third thing, it begins with a desire to get clean. If you're going to stay clean, it begins with a desire to get clean. You've got to want to be clean. You've just got to want to be clean. I talk to little children. Little child has no, it doesn't bother them at all to be dirty. None. Most little kids, it doesn't bother them. Now, I've known of some that it did, but most little kids, it doesn't bother them to be dirty. I mean, you turn them loose, they don't mind getting dirty. They don't mind being dirty. They don't mind staying dirty. They don't mind going to bed at night dirty. They don't mind getting up dirty and getting worse as the day goes on. I'll never forget, man. I remember this. I remember this as long as I live, I believe, over on Decatur Avenue. And I was in the bus route. My bus route was in that area. It's in the area now. Brother Curtis drives a bus. And we knocked on this door. We'd seen some kids playing there on Saturday. Or the week before, we went back on Saturday. We knocked on the door. Line up kids to come. We saw several of them, you know, and they were lined up, man. They were going to be there. We went by on Sunday morning. Well, when we went by on Sunday morning, we pulled up and knocked on the door. Man, out come a slew of youngins. It was a bus worker's paradise. You love it when people have a lot of kids, all right? So here they came, you know. Here they came out. Well, there's one little boy, and I thought, well, man, he must be the neighbor kid. I said, little black boy. He got on the bus with him, you know. We were there and just having a good time doing what we do on the bus and everything. But I got up close to him and I looked at him close. I'm not kidding you. And I'm not making this up. I really did. I thought it was a little black kid. Now, I got close to him and I thought, man, he's not black. He's dirty. I never seen so much dirt on a kid in all my life. I mean, it was caked on, all right? If you put him in a tub of water, you'd have had to wash the tub out three times, all right, to get it, because he was dirty, dirty. He didn't get that dirty on Saturday. Now, it might have been the Saturday before and all the week before, you know, but he was some kind of dirty. But you know this? He wasn't self-conscious about it at all. Didn't bother him. Man, he was there. He was having just as much fun as the brothers and sisters that were clean. Maybe they ran out of water before they got to him. I don't know. All of them were in there, and they were just in there enjoying it, and he was enjoying it just as much as anybody else. Didn't bother him. He was dirty. Didn't concern him. He didn't care. I mean, he didn't want to do it. But the thing bothered me is some professing Christians seem to feel the same way. It doesn't bother them if they're dirty either. It doesn't bother them if they dabble in sin and fool with sin and play with it and keep going back to it and never confess it and never make it right and live in that sin and just keep on in it. I'm going to tell you this. You'll never get clean until you decide you want to be clean. You'll just never do it. It won't be an accident. You've got to make that decision. You see, I believe David in Psalm 51, David had a realization of his own sin. And when he realized that sin and he realized what he was in, his prayer, you go back to verse 2, was, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. See, David realized, I'm in a condition where I need to be cleaned up. Now, I don't believe God will do it for you, but I believe if you'll come to him and ask him, he will. David came confessing that sin. He didn't come to hide it. He didn't come to cover it up. He didn't come to make light of it. He didn't come to make excuse for it. He didn't come to say, now, Lord, I know I've sinned and I know I'm a sinner, but Lord, you know that about me and I know you understand and it's all right because you understand. No, he said, Lord, I'm sorry. I want you to clean me up. I want you to take my life. I want you to clean it up. I want you to create a clean heart within me. And I want you to just wash me that I could be clean. Listen, that's where it starts. That's where it starts. But so many are too content to stay in it. Too content to just carry on with it. Too content to just say, well, it's not that big a deal. Hey, nobody knows it. Nobody else knows it. I'm the only one. Yeah, but God knows it. Say, well, but it's not real known, and I can just go on and whatever the sin is. I mean, whatever it is. You just pick one. It doesn't matter what it is. But you see, our problem is we have a tendency to categorize them and we think, well, that's a really bad one, but this is not too bad. But not in God's eyes. That sin puts that spot in your life. You hear me? He's told you and me we're to be unspotted. Unspotted. Not just not filthy, but don't even have the spot. Okay? Don't even have the spot. Now, most of you ladies, some of us men would do this. But most of you ladies, if you got a spot, you'd go change. Us guys, we just try to tilt our tie a little bit, you know, cover it up. Just kind of hide it some. We figure it won't show up. It's not that big a deal. I've got some shirts that I wear. I usually always preach in a white shirt because that's what I like to wear. But I do have some colored shirts, and I'll wear them sometimes, school, things like that. But it seems like invariably I'll be dressed, and I'll start brushing my teeth. When I get through, somehow, some way, there's a spot of toothpaste. It never happens if I've got a white shirt on. But if I've got that blue shirt or that black shirt, it always seems like it happens. I get so irritated at that. You say, do you change? No, man, I need a little water. No, scrape it off. Doesn't show up real bad. But I still get irritated. But you know, we live our life as a Christian. And we let the world spot our life. And we look at it and we say, it's not that big. Most people aren't going to notice it. I'll just go on. Or I'll adjust my tie a little bit and hide that. Or I'll put on a sweater. Or I'll put on a coat. And I'll hide that sin. Nobody will know it. I can keep on doing my thing. And I just go on like nobody knows. Wait a minute, you know it. Don't you want to be clean? Don't you want to be clean? Man, I don't know about you, but when I stand before God, I really don't want Him to find anything wrong. I don't want Him to be able to find anything wrong. I'd like to be able to stand there before Him and not have to be rebuked. I'd really like to stand there before Him and not have to hear Him say, what about this? Not have to stand before Him ashamed. Folks, don't you want to be clean? But you never will till you decide that you want it. And until you're willing to be honest with your God about your life. Those things that sometimes we gloss over, that's just a little thing. Hey, every now and then I may say something, let something slip. But hey, I mean, you know, why don't you quit? I have people apologize to me. Say, it's not me. You need to talk to the Lord. Don't tell me about it. You need to talk to Him. Well, I couldn't. Yeah, you could. You just didn't. But you see, it's just so easy. It's got to be part of our life. It's got to be part of us. Don't you want to be clean? Won't be an accident. You're going to have to decide. I want to live clean. I want to live unspotted from this world. Man, I'm going to tell you, it's not an easy thing. Because everywhere you go, you're going to have to look out for it. Everywhere you go. I'll never forget Brother Todd's here tonight. I'll never forget him telling me about working at a place. That Bungie over there where you work. He said, man, you go to work there, no matter how clean you go to work, I said, you're going to be filthy when you come out of there. So you don't have to do anything. It's just, you're just walking through the plant. You're just going to get nasty. I mean, he said, it's just there. It's everywhere in there. I want to tell you, it's like that in the world. It's like it's waiting to pounce on you as you walk by. So if you want to be clean, you got to decide to live clean. But it's your decision. It's your decision. Heavenly Father, I pray now you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, in just a moment, we're going to sing a verse of invitation. Lord, if you're dealing with folks, I pray, Lord, they'd make a decision. They'd act on that decision. Or they'd realize, hey, my life, there's some things need to be worked on. There's some things need to be repented of. There's some sin that, Lord, I need to bring before you. And I need to confess it and I need to forsake it. And, Lord, I pray you'd help us to do that. Dear God, I pray you'd give us a group of people that long to be clean, live a clean life. Lord, that we might truly keep ourselves unspotted from the world. God, help us to have that desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you